I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Jonathan Yates, the conductor of the Norwalk Symphony Orchestra and the Norwalk Youth Orchestra. You have put together such a wonderful, wonderful program that'll be happening on Sunday, March 17th at 3 at the Norwalk Concert Hall, featuring both of those orchestras. So first of all, Jonathan, welcome. It's great to talk with
you. Kate, I always love coming and chatting with you as well. Thank you for having me.
What I think is so fabulous about this concert is that the members of the Youth Orchestra will be sitting in with the grown-ups, and it must be such a thrill for them.
It is, it's a delight for them, and I have to confess, it's a delight for me. You know, this is one of my favorite concerts of every year for either organization. I'm very lucky that I get to serve as music director of both the Norwalk Youth Symphony and the Norwalk Symphony Orchestra, and they're both wonderful, wonderful organizations, and this is my chance to bring them together once a year and put together a really big orchestra and do a really, you know, a really big, fun orchestral work, which in this case is going to be Jupiter from the Planets.
Yeah, boy, that is just such a thrill. I mean, and yeah, it is really for a massive orchestra.
It is for a huge orchestra. And what's so nice about the experience is we do have them literally seated side by side with the professional members, the young guys. And, you know, you get to see the mentorship process happen in real time, you know, and you get to see these friendships come into play between the adults and the high school students, and you know the high school students benefit from the professionalism and the years of experience of the adult orchestra, and for the adult orchestra, you know, they benefit from the passion and the youth of the younger members. Everybody really gets a lot out of the experience, and not to mention just has a really fun time. And yeah, I specifically picked something from the Planets, because it's so much fun and it's such a joyous work. And since we're doing Peter and the Wolf later, it sort of goes with that kind of playful feel of Peter too. And it's a big blast, you know?
I'll bet. Are there some of the kids that are returning for like a second or third time?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a highlight for them too, you know, because I mean, we do great repertoire, of course, in Norwalk Youth Symphony as well. But you can only so often do things with, you know, massive groups of horns and trumpets and,
yeah.
the whole, you know, 100 players on the stage. And it's such a visceral thrill for everybody involved and for the audience too, just to see so many people up on stage of so many different ages. It's great for the adults in the audience, and it's great for kids in the audience just to get that kind of sense of being overwhelmed by sound and people. And it can be a really exciting first experience with a classical concert.
Oh, definitely. And there are some activities that are going on as part of this. One of them is a mask making craft workshop, so you can make a mask for Peter and the Wolf.
That's
and
right.
Grown-ups and kids, I guess, and choose your animal and then wear the mask in the concert. So.
Yeah, well, we want to make it as involving and involved as we can, because again, you know, we want to teach them the idea that classical music can be fun and should be fun, you know, and Kate, we do this in not just in our family concerts. We're always looking for ways to sort of break down that fourth wall, right? You know, that when we do concert stagings of operas, we have the members of the cast running through the hall. We're always looking for ways to make the concert going experience an experience rather than as just sort of sit back, clap, and enjoy another overture, concerto, and symphony. You know?
Well, I think people are, especially, you know, kids, are so used to having some agency and having an experience be interactive. And so the more you can involve them and really, you know, get them on board with the experience, the better, because then you're growing lifelong classical music lovers.
Right. That's what we're hoping to do.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, we hear all the time about how classical music is, the audience is diminishing and stuff. And yet you've got this incredible prodigy, 12 years old, Hudson Reagan's going to be performing the last movement of Beethoven's First Piano Concerto. Wow.
Well, I know. We're so excited about that. And, you know, I mean, keep in mind that concerto competition was open up through high school. So he was up there competing against, you know, people who were 18.
Wow.
But the judges were just so excited by him. He has a lot of elan, you know, a lot of verve, a lot of flair, and he's really musical. And of course he's got, you know, great chops too. But they just said there was so much personality in his playing.
Wow.
And, you know, Beethoven 1 is just as delightful a concerto as there is.
Well, and what's so cool about it is Beethoven wrote it when he was fairly young.
That's
right. He was like maybe 20, maybe not even.
God, that's right. Yeah.
And so he's got that kind of youthful energy in this concerto too.
That's right. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So for a young performer, boy, there's a lot to work with there.
That's exactly right. It's really true. And he's doing that last movement, that rondo, and it's just sheer delight.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, and plus what a great thing for the kids in the audience to see a kid close to their own age with this amazing talent and enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's what we think too. And it's, look, we're also always thrilled at the idea that maybe, you know, we can get some of these kids in the audience to actually take up an instrument mm-hmm. from the excitement of actually seeing somebody nearly their own age.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, look what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can do something like that, how exciting would that be?
Yeah, definitely. And so you might have some new recruits for the youth orchestra.
That's exactly right. That's our aspiration.
Yeah. And then Peter and the Wolf is just such... you know, it's still one of my all-time favorite pieces because I've got such great memories of listening to it. I'm pretty sure it was the first classical piece that I ever heard.
Yeah, and it might have been mine too, you know. And it just never gets old, that work. Although we are making a conscious effort to make it, you know, new and interesting mm-hmm. too. You know, in addition to having a great narrator and the, you know, Tony-nominated actress, Mia Dillon.
Yeah.
Really thrilled about that. We have dancers as well, and they're bringing a set. They're going to dance the entire show because, again, we want to make it as involving and as exciting as possible. And we've collaborated on a number of occasions now with this New England Academy of the Dance, mm-hmm. you know, and God, they have gifted students as well. And so, you know, again, for young members of the audience to get to see young musicians and young dancers and, you know, there's the visual art element too, if they're making their masks. Just we want to make it just a massively involved artistic experience for everybody who's there and just get them as excited about all the arts as humanly possible.
That's so fantastic. I just found out recently that Prokofiev actually wrote this piece as kind of a show and tell project for his kids to be performed at school, at their school.
That's right.
So, I mean, because he was such an advocate of writing music to get kids excited about music too.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, and he just threw it together and, you know, because he's, you know, his writing is so sparkling
mm-hmm.
is the thing about Prokofiev, you know, and so it's no surprise that he would write the great children's work of all time, you know, because it just sparkles everything that he writes.
Well, and what's so remarkable about it, and this might, you know, be just because since I heard this piece when I was little, I just associate these instruments with these particular animals. But, I mean, he could have chosen anything for the cat, but a clarinet turned out to be absolutely perfect.
Of course.
and the oboe for the dog.
I know. But that's just it. And I think none of us now, you know, even as professional classical musicians, you know, if you think about an excerpt to ask, you know, what really defines your instrument, people go straight to their Peter and the Wolf excerpts. Always. You know, I mean, for the flute always goes straight to that bird excerpt. Mm-hmm. They all do. It's just, you know, in any, be it an outreach concert or something more serious, it's really defining, particularly for those wind instruments.
Yeah.
Like that is often how they, you know, they think of that, their instrument, as the way it was associated by Prokofiev,
uh-huh.
you know? That's how powerful that piece is.
That is just so incredible. And so now that you're revisiting it, have you found new things in the score that you didn't notice before?
I mean, there are always new little delights. I mean, I just keep coming back to the way the orchestration just sparkles. I mean, he's such a master of going from instrument to instrument and knowing what works just perfectly with it. And it's, again, you see it in all of his bigger works. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it in Romeo and Juliet. You see it in all the ballets and the symphonies and the piano concertos. But there is something about when he gets to just then focus so clearly on one line and just the characterization of that line. You're just like, my God, what a genius.
Yeah, no kidding. He's one of my favorite composers. It's hard to pick just one, but he's definitely in the top three. And for just that reason, too. And the harmonies that he uses are just, they're so interesting. Nobody else sounds like that.
I know. He has that voice. It shimmers. Yeah. You know, it shimmers. And it's, you know, it's often hard for somebody to write, you know, because he writes pretty tonal music after people are doing more adventurous stuff. And yet it never seems sort of retrograde. Do you know what I mean? Because his voice is so singular. Mm-hmm. It always seems so authentic and so him. So that even really the people who are kind of the most adventurous new music guys, everyone loves Prokofiev, you know? You just can't help yourself.
It's going to be such a fantastically fun concert. And Jonathan, thanks so much for coming in to talk about it.
Thank you for having me, Kate.